struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about whatever my lot. The other day, I read a letter from a woman who was scared to death about her children's growing up. And I read two letters from people who were looking for perfect mates. Well, number one, the first lady, needed to learn the hard but always necessary lesson of relinquishment, acceptance of God's assignment, and relinquishment of her own impossible desires. The other two also needed to learn acceptance, the willingness to receive that which God gives rather than that which we would dictate and demand of Him. So it's this latter that I'd like us to think about today, this business of acceptance. Now, acceptance is not passivity and non-activism. It's not a weary capitulation to things that we can't do anything about, or a grudging surrender. True acceptance is a positive act of the volition, of the will. It is a choice. It is an act of faith in God who runs the universe and chooses for each of us who love Him the lot which will provide the best chances for us to learn to love Him more and serve Him better. It is God who runs the universe and chooses for each of us who love Him the lot which will provide the best chances for us to learn to love Him more and serve Him better. Andrew Murray, a great missionary to South Africa and writer, made a rule for himself. 4 points in this rule. He says, number one, God brought me here. It is by His will that I am in this narrow place. In that fact, I will rest. Number two, He will keep me here in His love and give me grace to behave as His child. Number three, He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons He intends for me to learn and working in me the grace He means to bestow. Number four, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when, He knows. Let me say, I am here, one, by God's appointment, two, in His keeping, three, under His training, four, for His time. Now, I'll repeat those last four. They're very brief form, and some of you might want to be taking some notes here. Let me say, I am here, number one, by God's appointment. And you might put after that Psalm 16:5. Number one, by God's appointment. Number two, in His keeping. Number three, under His training. And number four, for His time. And I think those four things apply to every single one of us. You know, little Fanny Crosby, when she was just a baby, a doctor put the wrong medicine in her eyes when I think she was only 6 weeks old in 1820, and he put hot poultices on her eyes and burned the corneas so that she was permanently blind. Fanny Crosby became a popular lecturer, a pianist, an organist, and when she was 38 years old, she married a blind musician and composer who had been one of her students at the New York Institute for the Blind, Alexander Van Alstyne. Their only child died. But those of you who know any of Fanny Crosby's hymns know that they're just filled with joy. Praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him. Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We could go on and on. I think she wrote about 8,000 hymns. Well, she started early writing poetry at the age of 9. And she was already blind then. This is what she wrote. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I shall be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't. I love that. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the young Timothy, says this in 1 Timothy 6, Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. People so often say, money is the root of all evil. Be careful, because the Bible says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil in itself, but to be covetous for money and to let money rule your life is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We do hear some sad stories about people who have won the lotteries, and they think that it's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. And some of them have been interviewed 10 years later, and it's amazing how many of them say that they wish it had never happened. Fanny Crosby was letting go of all the negative feelings that a blind person might have. That burning obsession to get something that God was not going to give her, or to hang on to things, a temptation for many of us, for most of us at some time or other, to hang on to things. Your child's 3-year-old charm. I happen to have a 3-year-old grandson right now, and he has just sent me a tape of him singing, Jesus is all the world to me. Well, it makes me cry and laugh at the same time. Charm in that little boy. And I have to think about the fact that when he's 13 years old, 10 years from now, maybe he'll be grumpy. Some 13-year-olders become grumpy, don't they? If you didn't hear that mother's letter about wishing that her children wouldn't grow up, she was a woman with an irrational fear to be relinquished into the hands that were wounded for all of us. Is it hard for you to let go? God will take care of what you relinquished far better than you ever could. A prisoner who had heard me read Fanny Crosby's little poem sent me this poem. Oh, what a happy man am I, although I am not free. I am resolved that in this cell contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To cry and blame because I'm chained, I cannot and I won't. Now there is a testimony of contentment. The title of this series of talks has been Whatever My Lot, and it's taken from Spafford's hymn, It Is Well. One stanza says, My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This prisoner is paying a price for sin, and yet he's a man who can actually say, I am resolved that in this cell, contented, I will be. And that was true of the Apostle Paul and of Peter as well. They were imprisoned more than once for Christ's sake. They were actually chained between two guards, 24 hours a day. and yet it was in prison that they sang and praised the Lord. My situation has never been nearly that bad, being in prison. But I know that there are many prisoners listening to me now. We get amazing letters from prisoners, so many of whom have come to know Jesus Christ in prison, realizing that they have come to the end of the road. There is nowhere to turn except to God. It's tragic that very often that is the case. God doesn't seem to get our attention until we're in big trouble. And then maybe our first reaction is, Lord, why did you ever let this happen to me? And the answer comes in a still, small voice. I want you to know me. I want you to love me. I want you to trust me. I do want you prisoners to know that you are especially in my prayers. I thank you so much for writing to me. I know that some of you are limited to the number of times that you're allowed to write, and some of you are not allowed to receive things. But I do thank God for those of you who have turned to Him who alone can forgive your sin and can make you free, even though, humanly speaking, you are confined. Oh, what a happy man am I, although I am not free. I am resolved that in this cell contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To cry and blame because I'm chained, I cannot, and I won't. And he puts a note underneath, Reflections from Prison, adapted from Fanny Crosby in 1994. You know, God tells us that Christ prays for us, and the Holy Spirit prays for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Sometimes when I feel as though I can't pray, or my prayers are so feeble and so distracted, I just say, Lord, thank you that Christ is praying for me. Thank you that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me in those groanings that never find words.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.